Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, this segment, we're going to take a look at some of the news that came out about the Big Ten itself. Out of nowhere, we get some word the Big Ten is considering dropping their divisions, combine it to make it one division, where I'm assuming that would end with a championship game between the first and second place teams, and reduce their in-conference schedule from 9 to 8, which would allow them to start doing some of these cross-conference games with at least the Pac-12 and maybe the ACC also, and get some games that way, which is something that was talked about last year with this multi-conference alliance. I'll tell you what, Dustin, I like all of it, to be honest with you. What's your take on it?
Well, a couple things. First, I feel like, and this was Gary Barta, Iowa's athletic director, talking to the athletic writer in Iowa, I believe, Scott Docterman. But I feel like this is a really good non-committal way to focus group this thing. Let's get the sentiment out there. No commitments have been made yet. These are just ideas that we're batting around. And everybody in college who follows college football knows that all the leaders in all the different positions at the university, athletic department, conference level, national level, they're evaluating every single thing right now because wholesale changes are coming. It's a matter of when, not if. So they didn't make any commitment on this, and they were able to get it out there and see what public reaction to it was. And I feel like that was kind of the purpose of this right now, is to see, okay, how are people going to respond to the idea of doing away with divisions, to maybe making that scheduling alliance a little bit more official, because right now it's just kind of a pile of bullcrap that they just threw out there before. It didn't mean anything. So maybe they can make that official. And so I think what they're doing, and you combine this with, and correct me if I'm wrong, do you ever remember a spring where the Big Ten adjusted schedules for the following fall, for the next fall? Can you remember that happening before this spring? Has my head been in the sand?
No, I was stunned when I saw that they did that. But what it just goes to show you is they can, okay? You don't need 5, 6, 7 years in advance to make your schedule.
And I think, to me, it's kind of an offshoot of this conversation where the Big Ten is striving for a model where they can be a little bit more flexible and think a little bit more short term with the way they go about their schedule. And if they're going to adjust schedules for the following fall to make it a little bit more equitable, a little bit more fair, to change the sequence up so a team's not getting slammed or whatever, okay, that's one component of it. If they're going to be able to kind of reserve, okay, week 3 or week 4 is an ACC or Pac-12 game. Everybody knows that. You know you're going to be on the road. You're not going to know you're going to be at home. But they're able to wait until, let's say, the spring to figure out who matches up best with who, so everybody gets a good quality game that's got some entertainment appeal, as best you can anyway. So you're not putting the worst team in the Pac-12 against Ohio State or whatever. So I think it gives them a little bit more opportunity with these philosophies to better adjust schedules, to be a little bit more equitable, to be a little bit more fair to teams. And maybe it all adds up to the Big Ten trying to position itself and trying to position as many teams as possible to make a run at a 1 or 2 loss season, to make a run for whatever the college football playoff expansion looks like.
Well, my thoughts on it, Dustin, I think you're right that they put this out there. They'll see the fan reaction. They'll get reaction from each of the schools in the conference. And then ultimately, of course, ask Michigan and Ohio State what they want to do, and there will be your decision. But when you talk about getting rid of the divisions, we look at it as Penn State people, and we see it's very unfair that you have Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Michigan, all in the same division. But somehow I think that has very little to do with why they would get rid of the divisions. It's probably more about, well, gee, we're going to end up with probably a very highly ranked Ohio State or possibly Michigan or Penn State coming from the East Division and a mediocre team from the West, and God forbid they upset that team in the conference championship game. Does that hurt our chance as a group to get people into the playoffs? Whereas if you do one division and have a conference championship game, it's one versus two. So you have the two best teams in the conference playing for the championship. And the worst case is you get your second best team, not your fifth or sixth best team, winning the conference championship.
Yeah, I think to me, it's either you make a commitment to more often reassess what those divisions look like, because everybody knows how problematic the East versus West thing has been for a long time. So either you commit to reshuffling the deck, and, you know, in this day and age, when they came up with the divisions, I think even at that point in time, the culture of college football has changed quite a bit. And the culture of college athletics has changed quite a bit, so that geography, when you're printing money through television network deals, the geography and the travel costs, and I know that falls down to Olympic sports and non-revenue sports, but that has mattered less and less and less. So to insist on your league having divisions based on geography, when you're made up of schools that are in a, you know, relatively speaking, a pretty tight radius to each other, you know, I felt like they had a chance to either reassess those or come up with some kind of plan so that every 4 years you go through a reassessment period, or you kind of formalize, okay, the top two, the four highest ranked teams will be spread out two and two across the division, whatever. Or you can just remove the divisions altogether and come up with a different scheduling philosophy, which will be, for what it sounds like, you have three games that are more or less staples and you have five rotating games. That's just as well, where you can get a good variety of games on everybody's schedule. And if they're going to couple that with, as I mentioned before, the idea of, you know, scheduling for equity, then I think you might have something where you can better position your teams to make a run at it. You can do away with the haves and have nots and make it a little bit more of a wide open race.
Well, let's look at that. If you would have locked in three teams that you play yearly and then rotate, you know, for those other five games, rotate the other 10 teams, what would that look like, say, for Penn State?
Well, and this is, it's fascinating to me, and I would imagine it comes down to the Big Ten is not going to try to put any team in position, because why do away with the divisions if you're just going to make somebody play Michigan and Ohio State every single year? So I felt like for Penn State, if you're going to pick three teams for them to play, I kind of go back and forth on it. I think Michigan State has to be one. I personally think that Penn State should want to play Ohio State every year, especially in a situation where, okay, if we take care of business and we go 10-2 or 11-1 and we still lose to Ohio State, we're still very much in the running. I feel like Ohio State should and could be one of the games. I just don't think the Big Ten is necessarily going to jump at the chance to give Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan every year. It's kind of the issue that we're talking about. So to me, I mean, if I'm picking three teams, I'm going Michigan State, Iowa, and Maryland. Three different types of potential rivalry situations.
Where I agree with you as far as they wouldn't or shouldn't make Ohio State play both Michigan and Penn State every year, or make Michigan play Ohio State and Penn State. You know Michigan has to play Ohio State. You know it has to be the last week of the season. You know it has to be at noon. Now, one of the things I think that's ironic is years ago when they set up these divisions, they put Michigan and Ohio State in the same division so they could play the last game of the year. And if they were in separate divisions, the crossover game would, of course, have to be the last game of the year, because you know it is Michigan and Ohio State. And the last thing in the world we would want is them to have to play each other back-to-back weeks. That was the thinking years ago. Now it's, hey, wouldn't it be great if they played back-to-back weeks? So sorry to get off on that tangent, but you just know this whole conference will bend over backwards for those two schools. It's just the way it is. With that said, I don't think they'll make both of those teams, especially like Michigan. I would assume they would have to also play Michigan State, right? So they probably start with Ohio State and Michigan State, right?
I mean, one would assume, but you have to put yourself in the shoes of somebody who runs the Big Ten, Jim. And assumptions that you and I might make, they can probably academia their way out of it. And overthink this or overthink that. You know I'm right, too. Like, we're not talking about, you know, guys at the bar that we're talking football with. We're talking about, you know, people who think about this stuff a lot differently than we do. So I don't think you can take any of that for granted.
I think you hit it, though, where they've been trying so hard to make Penn State, Michigan State the rivalry that I think they would continue to do that. Now, if it were also Penn State, Ohio State, not sure, because from Ohio State's standpoint more than from Penn State's, I do think, you know, there would be somebody who would be saying, hey, let's have those Eastern teams play each other. Let's have Maryland play Penn State. Let's have Rutgers play Penn State and do that on a regular basis. I'm not sure that's the best way. Iowa, I like your idea just because I, as a fan, I now have Iowa at the top of the list as a team that I want Penn State to beat. And I think that's a good enough reason.
Ride that wave. And you think about what Penn State, Iowa has given us, really since Franklin has arrived. It's been a lot of good, tight games. It's been a lot of awesome atmospheres at Kinnick Stadium, at Beaver Stadium. It doesn't matter. You know, two teams whose personalities just kind of go together and make these types of games happen. So I feel like the Big Ten has to recognize the type of momentum that Penn State Iowa has and the type of potential there is to hate each other and develop an actual rivalry and not just force it upon them. You know, I think Iowa has a chance to be a natural rival. I think Maryland, going back to the stupid handshake situation a while back, has potential to be a rival. And I think there's reason to believe that Maryland can continue to rise and continue to kind of climb levels. So you pair them with a team like Penn State, and it's almost like a temperature check.
Dustin, let's get in this last minute the part, the alliance, the being able to play a Pac-12 team or an ACC team. I think that's an important element of this also. Hey, give me a shot at UCLA, Washington, Oregon, Florida State, Clemson, as opposed to Minnesota or Northwestern.
You forgot Pitt, Jim. That opens a whole different type of doorway here for Penn State Pitt to backdoor their way into the rivalry game. Pat Narduzzi's got a lot of pull. You know he speaks like an eloquent diplomat. So he's going to get in that room. He's going to sway all these people in that direction. Bottom line, though, I really actually like it. I'd love to see a Penn State, Washington, Penn State, Oregon, Penn State, whoever, Clemson, Michigan. A lot of potential there.
There really is. And you know what, Dustin? I appreciate the fact that you were able to sneak in a shot at Pat Narduzzi. And also, if it does mean a Penn State Pitt game, I love it. Love it. All right, that is it for quarter number two. Stick around. In quarter number three, we're going to do a quick 2021 season review.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.